everybody feel the same old you. Kinda makes me wonder if we're gonna stay afloat.
Ah, yes, that was Brian QTN with one of his classic tunes, People Need Food. And it's time for Fourth Friday Focus with Oregon Center for Public Policy. And we're going to speak today with Janet Bauer, an analyst with the Oregon Center for Public Policy. And she specializes on food security issues, among many other things. And hopefully Janet's online. Janet, are you there?
I am. Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning, Janet. Great to talk to you again. And we have, apparently there's been a new farm bill. I don't know if it's been signed, but it's been passed. And there's been some changes to the SNAP program, which is essentially food stamps. And Janet Bauer is here to tell us about it. And Janet, give us some background. What's going on?
Sure. Well, the existing farm bill, which includes the SNAP program, called the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, that used to be called food stamps, is expiring in the fall. So Congress has been working on proposals to reauthorize it. The latest proposal to do that was brought forward last Friday in the House. We were very concerned about that bill because it made some harmful cuts to SNAP that would have resulted in hardship and more food insecurity in Oregon. Fortunately, it failed. However, the reason was primarily that it failed because of a dust-up about immigration. It did not have much to do with the content of the bill. And the latest that we're hearing is that House leaders are going to bring that same bill back, or a very similar bill back, in mid-June. In addition, the Senate is expected to take up a bill of its own as early as next week. We have yet to have indications about what would be in that, but we are concerned about various provisions in that bill that would make it harder for food insecure Oregonians to get assistance. And there are far too many Oregonians and Oregon families who are struggling to put food on the table.
So now tell me a little bit about, just for people who may not know, how the SNAP program is administered now. Mm-hmm. Is it been block granted? How does that operate?
That's a good question. It is a strong program. It is our country's first defense against hunger and food insecurity. Households generally are eligible if they are below a certain income and do not have assets of a certain level. So, once you get approved, there's an amount that is provided on an EDP card that can be spent only on food. So Congress has made it easier, as well as Oregon, for people who are having trouble putting food on the table to access the assistance. They've done a lot of streamlining of the program, reducing the paperwork. While it often is not quite enough for people to meet their entire nutrition needs if they have no other income, it is an absolutely critical source of support for families in Oregon. And currently, there are about 600,000 individuals in Oregon who depend on SNAP to meet their needs.
So is that then administered by, like, a federal workers, or is it like a state office? Is that administered locally?
You bet. Yeah, it is. They are federal funds, and they come to Oregon, and they are administered by the Department of Human Services. So people would go to a human services office to apply. There's information about the program on the Department of Human Services website as well. So yes, it's administered by the state.
So then if you're eligible, and what is sort of the income level at where you can get benefits? It's not poverty level. It's somewhat above that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. The poverty level, the income limit for Oregon, and states have some discretion about setting that limit, is 85% above the federal poverty level. So you can have income at 185% of the federal poverty level and qualify for some amount of food assistance. Now, it is dependent on your income, so the more income that you have up to that limit, the somewhat less amount that you would get from the program. But nevertheless, you would still be receiving something up until you get to that level.
Well, that's pretty good. Now, with the virtual elimination of, you know, cash assistance over the years, this has really been the sort of the primary sustenance kind of a subsidy a person can get when they're poor. Isn't that correct?
It absolutely is. And during the recession, about one out of every four Oregonians was relying on food stamps or SNAP benefits. It is absolutely critical. One of the strengths of the program is that it automatically will expand in terms of resources when there is increased need, and then the resources are would not be required so much when fewer individuals are needing assistance.
So that's kind of a macroeconomic policy as well, as when things are bad, you get more government spending to get more money in people's pockets, and then when things are better, then there's automatic sort of cutback on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the benefit of a program that is responsive to that in that way, as opposed to a block grant strategy where the federal government gives a predetermined amount to states and that amount doesn't change, regardless of how the economy is doing and how people are faring in the state. So we're thankful that at this point we've been able to beat back proposals to block grant programs like SNAP.
What are some of the other changes that they've been proposing that maybe people should be aware of?
The concerns are that in two areas. One is in making work requirements harsher and therefore making it more difficult for individuals who are having trouble to get assistance. Currently, individuals are required to register for work and they're required to accept work if the work is offered. In addition, if you are between 18 and 49 years old and have no children, you either need to be working at least 20 hours a week before you are in order to be eligible past 3 months. So either doing that or in a training program. So if you're not able to get yourself into a training program or find work for at least 20 hours after 3 months and you have no dependents, you're not going to be on the program. You wouldn't be eligible for the next 3 years.
Wow.
Now, that's the current policy. The proposals in the House have been to require all families to either be working 20 hours or in a training program if they had no dependents under the age of six, and that would apply to households, adults between the ages of 18 and 60. So they are applying these requirements to individuals who older workers, and these are very concerning to us. We know that there are individuals who struggle with all kinds of challenges to work and are struggling with barriers. Those can include illness, and sometimes it's hard for some individuals to find work because of their criminal background. They may be struggling with substance use issues, and it could be that we would have another recession. We will have in the next recession. These policies will be very harmful because in recessions, it takes much longer for people to find work, and that 3 months may not be adequate. So this is these proposals are extremely rigid. They're, they raise the barriers that exist in the program higher, and they would be certain to increase food insecurity in Oregon if they were enacted.
Well, one thing that you had said that kind of concerned me a little bit, and that was the when you were talking early on about if you didn't have 20 hours of work after 3 months, then you become ineligible for 3 years?
Correct.
So even if you do get work and your income is within the eligibility income level, you still can't get the benefit for 3 years?
That is a good point of clarification, and the answer is no. If you are able to get work for 20 hours during that period, you could be eligible for the benefits. It's just that if you're not able, that lockout period extends for 3 years.
Then you could get another 3 months.
If you had a disability or difficulties that kept you from work, or the economy was not doing well, nevertheless, you would not be able to get assistance until that third year ran, where you could get assistance without having that 20
right,
hours.
Right.
So.
And that would be just for another 3 months.
That would be just for another 3 months. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it produces a lot of obstacles to people getting back on their feet, and food is really essential to health, to mental health, to finding work, and it's, in our view, putting up these barriers. Well, I do not. Help, and the research has shown that they are ineffective in increasing employment among the population who would be eligible. One of the reasons for that is that, for the reasons I just said, that food is essential to our human function, and it is difficult for people to find work if they're not sure where their next meal is coming from. They're having to spend time finding where that next meal comes from, and it makes their work, their ability to find work, and their ability to sustain that work more difficult.
Has there been any work done that you know of about how restrictive policies and people not being able to get the food assistance they need when they're poor, how that affects the Medicaid budget?
There has been, and what we know is that nutrition does improve, it is directly linked to health conditions, and so food security supports health. So the point that you're making, that people who have a hard time meeting their nutritional needs, experience food insecurity and even hunger, have poor health outcomes and end up requiring, I mean, they have greater health needs, and as you suggest, that can add costs to society, including to the Medicaid program, that would serve folks in this who are at these income levels.
Yeah, it just seems to me that, you know, food is a lot cheaper than medical care, especially these days. And and I just curious if there was, you know, some sort of a dollar-for-dollar trade-off. I imagine you, with a good food program, you could save money on your health budgets. I mean, just seems to be common sense to me. But what do I know? I'm not sitting in the policy chair.
It's common sense.
Okay, well, thanks. Sometimes I feel a little insecure when I'm wondering what people are doing.
Yes, and the point you're making is that these proposals are short-sighted. They really don't help us get to ultimate sort of societal goals of stable, well-trained, healthy families who are able to meet their needs through work if they're able to work. Those are widespread goals. These policies don't help us get there.
So these nothing has been passed yet. So these are all proposals that are floating, and they seem to be maybe fighting about it a little bit. So there could be some political resistance to these changes that's significant.
We hope so. As I mentioned, the failure of the proposals in the House were not due to, as far as we can tell, any disagreements about the content of the proposals in that House bill, but rather a dust-up around immigration. So we will see, we're expecting to see this bill or something very similar to it come back, and whether some of those other unrelated issues are resolved will depend, at least in the House, on whether whether it moves forward. We will be looking closely at Senate proposals that we expect to see shortly. It's important that people weigh in with the congressional delegation. We were pleased that the entire House delegation, except for Greg Walden, voted against the proposal on the floor last week. So we need to continue to communicate with folks, our delegation in the House, and as well as in the Senate, because they'll be facing these questions shortly as well.
Now, you mentioned that they were sort of arguing over immigration issues on this bill, and I suspect, migrant labor has maybe a lot to do with that. But also, I'm just curious, are undocumented individuals eligible to receive SNAP benefits?
They are not.
Okay. Well, that's for the record. Is there anything about this anything more that you'd like to say about this, or any kind of a wrap-up, or what did we miss?
Sure. I would like to say a little bit about, if I might, for a minute or two, about food insecurity in Oregon.
Oh, sure. Go for it.
Our organization, the Oregon Center for Public Policy, is concerned about the welfare of Oregon families, and we monitor various indications of their economic health. Food security is one. And so we look at the information about food security that comes out periodically from the USDA. The most recent information that we got showed that one out of every seven Oregonians was food insecure. And that food insecurity technically means, in lay language, that a person does not know, reports that they don't know where their next meal is coming from on a frequent basis over the past 12 months. So what we saw is that an additional portion of those food insecure individuals were also reported that they went hungry. So the numbers that we're talking about are over 500,000 Oregonians over the period of 2014 to 16. And that is more than the populations of four of our largest cities, in Oregon, including Eugene, Salem, Beaverton, and Bend. That just gives you an idea of the scale that we're talking. And unfortunately, this is several years after the end of the recession. Mm-hmm. So one of the features of food insecurity that we're seeing now is that the group of folks who are food insecure, who make too much money to qualify for federal food assistance, is substantial. About 30% of those who reported that they were food insecure were in that category. They made too much to get assistance. And this speaks to pressures, budget pressures, that households are increasingly feeling in meeting their basic needs. It speaks to the pressures of housing and childcare, and the inadequacy of the wages that working households are able to get at this point. So these are a few features. Oregon has made little or no progress in fighting food insecurity in recent years. We compared the most recent data to the previous 3 years and found, in terms of the raw numbers, that our food insecurity numbers decreased about 4%. However, that amount was not statistically significant. So we really don't know that we really did make progress. The nation as a whole improved substantially. Over that period, food insecurity dropped by 11%. So we're not comparing very well to the progress in other parts of the state. These are reasons why the conversation in Congress is so important. Food insecurity is real, and it is a troubling issue in Oregon.
Well, that kind of raises a couple questions in my mind. And one is, is this food insecurity, how is it distributed between the urban and rural parts of the state? And then the other point I wanted to kind of make is, 30% of folks are making too much to get benefits under SNAP, and that benefit starts at 185% of the poverty level, mm-hmm. which suggests to me that there's a lot to be said about the definition of the poverty level and how that hasn't changed very much relative to housing costs and healthcare costs and all the other basic things that people need.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah, and what about the urban and rural distribution of this food insecurity?
You know, that's a very good question, and I don't have data at my fingertips about that. Our understanding is, I mean, we'd need to look more closely. We do know that in terms of budget pressures on households, in terms of housing and childcare, that those pressures are both urban and rural conditions. But we would need to look at the data more closely to answer your question.
Sure. Well, thank you for all that. And if people want to learn more about what's going on at the Oregon Center for Public Policy, and the papers, and you do so much research, why don't you let people know how they can get kind of tied in to the work that you do?
Right. All of our work is published on our website, and that is simply OCPP, which stands for Oregon Center for Public Policy.org. We're happy to share the information. If people would like to get regular updates of the latest reports that we put out, you can sign up to get our email updates, and you'll be one of the first to know of the new research that we produce. So we also always appreciate feedback on our work from folks who use our work.
Janet Bauer, thank you very much. Oregon Center for Public Policy, OCPP.org. Check it out. Thank you for this conversation, Janet, and we look forward to future conversations.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
I will. Thanks. Bye.